We magnify you today, oh God. Come on, let's just bless the name of the Lord just for a little bit longer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We honor you, oh God. You are worthy of our worship. Have your way in our midst, oh God. Be glorified today, oh God. Be exalted today, oh God. Father God, we come before you, we honor you. We lift you up and we adore you, God. On this Memorial Day weekend, Sunday, we thank you, Father God, for the mighty outpouring of your love over your people, over this great nation. We thank you for loving this nation. Thank you for the unique assignment that you have given this nation. Thank you, Father God, for the foundation that you have given us in this nation. Thank you, Father God, for the life of God that is upon this nation. We remember, oh God, members of our armed forces today. Lord, those who are serving and those who have served and those who will serve. We remember them and their families, oh God, today. We pray, God, your arms of protection upon them. We pray, Father God, your arms of safety and preservation. We thank you, Father, for the leaders of our military, our generals, and all of those that are in authority. We pray for them. We pray for the civilian leaders who make the decisions. We pray, Father God, for our president, his cabinet, the Senate, the House, the state governors, the mayors, Lord, everyone in authority in this nation. We use this occasion of this Memorial Day weekend Sunday to speak a blessing upon everyone, Lord, that is responsible for the direction of this nation. We pray the blessing of God upon those, Lord, that are responsible for executing those decisions that are made. We pray the blessings of God on those that risk their lives, on those that pay a price. Lord, on those that stand in the front of the wars, those that stand and those that sacrifice, and those that serve. And we bless them today, our God. Wherever they are, all over the world, in different nations, we bless them. We bless them. Thank you, Father, for keeping them. Thank you, Father, for protecting them. Thank you, Lord, for shielding them. Lord, even those right now in some of the different wars around the world, many of which are not publicized, some of the conflicts that are going on in different parts of the world that are not necessarily talked about that much, there are people on those front lines that are fighting, that are sacrificing, that are giving up precious, their lives, their families, their conveniences. We ask God that you bless them today. We pray, Father, Lord, that you protect them today. Keep them under the shadow of your wings. Help them. Help them. Uphold them with your right hand of righteousness. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, for the church that is on the front line of the current warfare in the spirit, we pray for our generals. We pray for our leaders. We pray for those that direct the course of the affairs of the body of Christ all over this nation and all over the world. We uphold them before you. We pray, God, that you will keep them, that you be merciful to them, that you be gracious to them. Lord, be merciful, be gracious. Protect them. Protect them from the thieves and the robbers. Protect them from the vipers. Protect them from the evil serpents. Keep them by your mighty power. Keep them and their families in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, all the footmen, all the foot soldiers, footmen and footwomen those that are on the front lines of different churches across this nation, across the world, those that are laboring, those that are working in the kingdom of God, those that represent Jesus in those churches, uphold their hands, oh God. Keep their families, oh God. Strengthen them. Strengthen them. Multiply your graces over them. Multiply your graces over them. Lift up their heads, oh God. Lift up their hands that may be hanging down. Energize them, oh God. Empower them. We thank you, our God. We give you all the glory and all the praise. You alone deserve it. So receive it to yourself. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And everybody said amen and amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. He's so deserving of it. Hallelujah. He's so deserving of it. He's so deserving of it. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are so thankful to the Lord. Right, let's take those confessions first. Amen. It should be on the screen. You can cut it out. Let's go from the beginning. 2, 3, go, everyone. 2024 is my year of God class exploit and the year of the fourth man. I am God's offspring, and in him I live and move and have my being. I am no ordinary or natural person. I am a supernatural, extraordinary being born of the seed of God himself. I have the seed of God in me. I produce after God's kind, and I overcome the world. I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. I am the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I represent Jesus. I speak for Jesus. I stand for Jesus. I reign with Jesus. The fourth man will be with me in the fire. What happens to ordinary people may happen to me, but I will have supernatural outcomes. The fourth man has made me a god to the natural elements of this world. Situations ordinary people cannot survive will become my stepping stones to glory testimonies. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. The king's shout is within me, and the lion's roar is rolling out of me. I raise the roof with my praise. I cry out and shout for joy. The greatest one lives here. I am feeding and reigning at a higher level. I have spiritual jurisdiction here. I take authority over this. Peace be still in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. This is my year of covenant release. I am undercover. No satanic plan against me, no divination against my household will ever prevail. In due season, and even now, the world will proclaim what wonders God has done for them. I am shielded and protected from every misfortune. I am undercover. The evil viper released into the world in these last days will not touch me. I am undercover. I am inoculated and vaccinated with a booster shot of the covenant. I am undercover. I am prospered, protected, and preserved in the ark. I am undercover. I shake the viper into the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. I am undercover in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 2024 is my year of uncommon provision. I am blessed in all things. Jehovah Jireh will see to it. I am finding favor in unexpected places, and I see the ram caught in a thicket. The barrel of meal shall not waste, and the cruse of oil shall not fail until the Lord sends rain upon the earth. God is sending rain on my field, and there shall be showers of blessings. I am one with God, and I possess what God possesses. I have the spirit of adoption. He is my father, and I am a joint heir with Christ. I have real estate in heaven, and I have real estate on the earth. I lift my hand up to El Elyon, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. My God has made me rich. This will be a year of broken boundaries and unlimited reach. The boundaries are broken and the limits are off. See, God has given me the cities, and the walls of Jericho are falling. Hallelujah. Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God, for with God, all things, everything is possible. Kayo Detadeshe, I prophesy over you today. Your dwellings are lovely and your homes are beautiful. You will spread out like rivers, like gardens by a river, like sweet-smelling aloes that the Lord himself planted, and like strong cedar trees by the waters. You will pour water out of your own bucket and have your own channels of rich blessing and plenty. Your offspring will dwell by many waters, and your life and legacy will be exalted and established. The God who brought you out of captivity has the strength of a wild bull, and he will destroy your adversaries and crush their bones. You are like a lion who couches in rest after winning the victory, and who dares disturb you? Blessed of the Lord is anyone who blesses you, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 2024 is my year of God-class exploits, and this is the year of the fourth man. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Please go ahead and be seated in the Lord's presence. Amen. God is so, so good. Yes, well, today I wanted to do something really important to the heart of God and to my heart for, and I'm only just going to start it, really, and I'm going to kind of touch on it. It's Sunday, there's so many celebrations. Even we are going to a graduation later on this afternoon. Kelechi, I understand that he was in church last Sunday. As one of my sons, amen. And we're proud of him. So, I know there are a lot of things going on this weekend. So I will not keep you long, but I do need to start this. And then I'm going to come back to it periodically as we get towards open heavens and that weekend. And I'll touch it. But I'm going to devote a lot of time. One of the things the Lord said is, don't rush. It's in the past, when I've ministered on things like this, I've rushed a lot. And so it was great in the moment, and people, I think, got a lot of understanding, and they were able to receive in the moment. But because the pressure was short-lived, it was not sustained, we soon moved on to other things, and we didn't really harvest all the things that God had for us in some of those things. So with this, he did specifically instruct, you know, just take your time, don't rush. So I'm going to start it out today, and then as we go along, I know I'm still ministering on this series. I know I am, right? And you hear, it's all mixed up, right? On Wednesdays, we're talking a lot about spiritual, the believer's authority and dominion is all interconnected. So I hope you love the word, and I hope you love the spirit of the word, and I hope you are going to receive this well. Amen. On our 2024 confession, I want you to look at that paragraph there. That paragraph there, covenant release, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that's the sixth paragraph. The sixth and the seventh paragraph. So it reads thus, if you can put it up, if you can find it, sorry, I'm messing you up here, I'm sure. But if you can find it, please put it up so everybody can, I can just have people set their eyes on it and focus on it a little bit. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. This is my year of covenant release. That paragraph. This is my year of covenant release. I am undercover. That part of it. Those two paragraphs, I want us to kind of just focus on those a little bit. That's it. Praise God. Thank you. So I'm going to read it and just look at those words. This is my year of covenant release. I am undercover. No satanic plan against me. No divination against my household will ever prevail. In due season, and even now, the world will proclaim what wonders God has done for them. You know that line right there. What wonders God has done for them. That's actually the theme of our open heavens that's coming up. Sorry, parents, I'm having you keep the children around. It won't be too long, but I really wanted the children to be here so that when we do communion at the end, you know, we all do it together in oneness and we kind of, everyone is covered here. Then it says, I am shielded and protected from every misfortune. I am undercover. The evil viper released into the world in these last days will not touch me. I am undercover. I am inoculated and vaccinated with a booster shot of the covenant. I am undercover. I am prospered, protected, and preserved in the ark. I am undercover. I shake the viper into the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. I am undercover in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, being undercover and being prospered and protected and preserved in the Ark of the Covenant, and being especially protected from the evil viper that is released into the world is really where my focus is as I minister some of these messages here. Hallelujah. This is the season for the viper. This is the season for the serpent. If you've looked around, even in the natural, you know, this is the season when recently I was walking slash jogging on a trail, and this is a very common trail, and this trail is a long stretch, but in between the two long stretches, there are like communities. So you come into one stretch, and you go through that stretch, and you come out, there's another community. So I came out, this was just maybe about a month, about 4 weeks or so ago. I came out of that one stretch into this community, and there was an older man, an older gentleman, who was cutting his shrubs and taking care of, you know, he's an older man. I think he was working for somebody in that community. And he asked me, seeing me coming out of the trail, he asked me, he said, did you see the rattlesnakes? I said, not yet. But he was right, because I'm very familiar with that trail. there is a season of the year when the rattlesnakes come out. And you see them. They are not there year round. They're not there year round. So when he asked me that, I said to him, not yet. He said, oh, you are going to see them soon. I said, I know. Because I'm very familiar with that trail. I know when they come out. I know the season of the year when they come out. So I kind of just laughed it off and went on my way and all of that. But this past week, just a few days ago, I was somewhere else, totally unexpected, doing something totally unconnected, unrelated, and there came out this rattlesnake, a black rattlesnake. And the very interesting thing about it is, I could very easily have walked over it without realizing it. It was so well blended. Now, all the things around that space where it was, there was black, there was a black piece of furniture, there was black mulch. Then even the grass that was around that area, because a lot of this tail was right in that grass, you just couldn't see it. You just could not see that rattlesnake. Somehow, I'm sure it's the Lord. Somehow, you know, I was around there and about to take a step. And I thought, what is this? It's a rattlesnake. What's it doing here? And so, of course, you know, I laughed about it. I thought, I've got to have this on record. So I dashed and went and got my phone, one of my phones, and I recorded a video of it while it was there. And I think, I don't know, if I get a release, I won't spook the children. So it may be one of those services where I don't have small children around. I may actually show that video because I want to teach something on it. I want to be able to minister something. It was very, it was just so apt because the Lord had been saying all of this to me. And I'd been kind of just, you know, just learning and learning and learning and learning and documenting and documenting. And then this experience. And I had to connect the dots. You don't remember everything, every time, immediately. But by the Holy Spirit. Because many times, spiritually, the mind is very slow. Many times, spiritually, the mind is very slow. But if you are very connected with the Holy Spirit, if you stay alert to the things of the Spirit of God, the Lord will help you connect things that your mind can't connect. And you go, oh, that is interesting. That is very interesting. All right. So this is the season of the viper. This is the season of the rattlesnakes. And, you know, I'm just going to say this off and on to you. Keep the serpent out of your garden. Okay? I'm going to come back to this over and over and over again. Keep the serpent out of your garden. Hallelujah. And I'll just touch a little bit on this so we can take communion together as a family, a spiritual family. And then, you know, I encourage you, just be very alert and very sensitive. Connect dots in the spirit. And don't let your mind drive you. I'll say one or two things about that as well. You remember on Mother's Day when Pastor Tinu was ministering, she came up with this. The Holy Spirit gave her this scripture, you remember? And she got on that scripture and, you know, I couldn't hold myself back. You remember that, right? I was like, I was the one preaching. Right there, without even thinking about it, I started speaking and my voice was quite loud, right? I almost had to hold myself back, like, and I apologize. I'm sorry, I didn't intend to interject. But it just struck such a major chord. A lot of these things that the Lord is having me minister in this season. And you will have understanding. Even on Wednesdays, I am teaching on some of those things. I'm talking about believers' authority and dominion. But a lot of these things are all very interconnected. Folks, spiritual things are very real. I just want you to remember that. There is nothing that happens in your life that doesn't have a spiritual root. Everything is connected. Right? So the more alert we are in the spirit, the better we will be. See that confession? I am protected. I'm preserved. I'm prospered in the ark. It's so important. The Lord has a plan to establish his word and his plan for our life. Amen. And even where our children are concerned, there are seasons when you've just got to be more alert, right? You heard that announcement this morning. We don't want children running out unaccompanied without their parents, right? Yes, it's partly because of the playground, the swings, all of that stuff. But there's also, you know, this is a public parking lot, right? So if children just run out and there's no adult supervision, God forbid, cars drive in and cars drive out all the time into this space, right? I just want you to be more alert, right? I'm just telling you because we've never made that announcement before, but we've made it today. So please pay attention. Hallelujah. Now, you have a garden. All of us have a garden at three levels, at three major levels. The first garden is a personal garden. Every human being, every individual, man, woman, boy, girl, young, old, every individual has a garden, like the Garden of Eden. God created you with a garden. There is a garden about your life. That's the first level. The second level, there is a garden in your family. Your family is a garden. Your biological family, yeah. Your natural family. It's a garden. And at the third level, the body of Christ, the fellowship of God's people, the church, is a garden. And folks, when God put you in your garden, he made you responsible for your garden. In Genesis 1, you remember when he said, Genesis 1, verse 28, let us make man after our own image. What verse is this? Verse 26? Thank you. And God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And then God gave him his assignment. Let me ask you a question. It's not a trick question. After God made Adam and Eve and he put them in the garden, who was responsible for the garden? Was God responsible for the garden? I know God is all powerful. I know God's got all authority. I know God's got all power in heaven and earth. It's true. But when God made Adam and Eve and put them in the garden and said, have dominion, and he gave them authority in that garden, I want to ask you again, who is responsible for that garden? So if anything happens in that garden, who does God talk to? Does he talk to himself? Does he ask himself? Who does he talk to? Adam and Eve. And of course, you see right here, that garden was a beautiful garden. The garden that God has given you is a beautiful garden. In Genesis 2, 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the eyes, good for food, the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out. I mean, you can read all of this because I don't have a lot of time today. I'm just touching it, just scratching the surface of some of these things just to give you some foundation so you have perspective. There's rivers and there's gold and there's all sorts of amazing things in that garden. And life was good in the garden until Genesis chapter 3 verse 1. What happened in Genesis chapter 3 verse 1? Let's read this. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? I want you to understand, the Bible says the serpent was more subtle than any other beast. The serpent was more subtle than any other beast of the world. What does that mean? The Amplifier uses the word crafty. Those of you who are English majors, what are other words for subtle? Sneak. Cunning, tricky, deceptive, mischievous. I mean, you can find all sorts of words. That means, let's just put it in plain English. When the serpent shows up, he doesn't show up as the serpent. When the thief, when the enemy shows up, he doesn't show up as the enemy. He never does. Because then if he does, you wouldn't recognize him as the thief. I've just told you I had a video, and if I'm released, I'll show you that video. I literally, because I was speaking in the video, I literally was speaking to this rattlesnake and telling him, move. And I was trying to get things to throw at it to get it to move, because it just stayed there. Just there. Just there. Just there. And you see in this video, the head of it with its little tongue just going in and out. The little tongue ready to strike, but he's just there. So I had to get some things to throw at it. And I was talking to it. Move! Move! Why are you going to move? And then finally, it started moving by itself. Slowly. So the Bible says he's very subtle and he's very cunning. Folks, Satan walks in cycles. He walks in seasons. There are seasons of your life when you are most prone. You are most prone to the walking of the serpent. There are seasons of your life. Satan walks in cycles. He's very smart. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And when he comes, he does not come in a way that you can recognize him. No, he doesn't. That's why that scripture Pastor Tinu read, we talked a little bit about it, just a little bit, I told it was just so explosive, I couldn't go too much into it, but, you know, put it up for me, because I'm just scratching the surface and giving you some foundation here. It's 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, I think, and let's read it in the King James first and then in the Amplified, and then we are going to read another one like it, 2 Timothy. I'll be closing very soon, I won't take long. There you go. Let's read it in the King James. So look at it. It says, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Let's read that in the Amplified. And let me say one or two things about when the serpent approached Eve. Thank you, that's it. It says, but now I am fearful lest that even as the serpent beguiled Eve, the word beguiled means deceived Eve, by his cunning, his craftiness, his trickery, so your minds... Watch, he says, your minds. Watch, he says, your minds. Notice he's not saying your heart. Don't say your spirit. He says your mind. There is a God. Every human being, you are spirit. Somebody say, I'm spiritual. I want everybody to do this with me. Everybody stand up and do this with me. Let's do this little exercise. Let's do it together real quick. If you are at home, wherever you are seated, stand up and do this with me. Everybody, put your hand on your chest. Say this with me. Say, I am spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. But I am really spirit. Let's do this one more time. Everybody say this. I am spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. But I am really spirit. Sit down. Sit down. I may have you do that one more time before I close here. I wanted you to say that, and I wanted you to really say it, because I want it to be very clear to you. And I want you to be reminded of it. I know you know it in principle, but I want you to be reminded of it. You are really spirit. God connects with you through your heart. You are not soul, you are not body. You are spirit. Anything God is going to do in your life, He's going to do through your heart. I want you to register that fact, that principle. Anything God is going to do in your life, your heart is the door to your life. Somebody say this with me. My heart is the door to my life. Say this one more time. My heart is the door to my heart, to my life, to my life. Let's do it one more time. My heart is the door to my life. Say one more time. My heart is the door to my life. Now, anything God wants to do, beginning with your salvation when you got saved, the moment you gave your life to Christ, it all began with your heart. Salvation began in the heart. He said there in Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, for with the heart, and then 10, of course, for with the heart man believes unto what? Unto salvation, with the mouth confession is made. With the heart man believes unto, let's put it up, Romans 10, let's start from verse 8. Thank you. Start from verse, thank you. But what saith it? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you will believe in your heart, notice it doesn't say your mind. Notice it doesn't say your mind. Where do you believe? Where does the life of God begin? Somebody say, my heart. Come on, somebody say, my heart. And if you will believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what will happen? You will be saved. You are never saved through your mind. You never contact God through your mind. I want you to listen to me, those of you who are intellectuals, and those of you who are really sharp mentally, intellectually. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. But it can be a curse as well. It can be a curse as well. God wants to be God of your heart. But let me tell you something that I don't believe you have ever heard. And I'm going to say very clearly to you. I don't believe you have ever heard this. God wants to be God over your heart. Satan, the serpent, wants to be God over your mind. Why? Because Satan, the thief, the serpent, Jesus described him as an intruder. He cannot get into a house. Remember what Jesus said about doors? Satan cannot come into your house through the door. There's only one door into every house. There's only one door into the house of your life, I mean. I'm not talking about your big house. I'm talking about the house of your life. That's what I'm talking about. There's only one door into the house of your life. Where is that door? Somebody say, my heart. Somebody say, my heart. There's only one door to the house of your life. Where is that door? My heart. Can you take us back? So you've read that. It's through, it's through the heart. Did we read verse 10? Let's quickly read verse 10 and then take us back to that 2 Corinthians 11 scripture. For with the heart man believes. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto it. With the heart man believes. Man does not believe with the mind. This is why a lot of professors in universities cannot be saved. Because a lot of them can be saved and a lot of them will be saved, but in order for them to be saved, they have to set apart their mind. You cannot contact God with your mind. Your mind does not have the access. Your mind doesn't have the ability to contact God. You cannot understand God in your natural mind. You can't say to God, explain to me, how can I just say with my mouth, believe with my heart, and I'm already born again? It doesn't make sense. All my sins are forgiven. I'm now a child of God. It did not make sense when you gave your life to Christ. If you wanted it to make sense, you would never have been born again. God does not relate with you through your mind. The door into your life is your mind. Is your heart. The door into your life is your heart. But let's talk about the serpent. Can you put up that scripture again? The one in, is it 2 Corinthians? Or yeah, 2 Corinthians 11, 3. And put it up this time in the Amplified, please. Thank you. I'm almost done. It's just foundation I'm giving you. We'll take communion together. Hallelujah. Watch this. But now, I am fearful, lest that even as the serpent beguiled Eve by his cunning, so your minds may be corrupted and seduced from the wholehearted and sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Watch this. Your minds may be corrupted and seduced. The seduction of the serpent begins in the mind. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. When the serpent approached Eve, what did the serpent say to Eve? Notice, he started with a question. Notice, he started with a question. Why? This is psychology. Right? This is psychology. Everything that involves your mind is your psyche, psychology. And so, when something is already present in your mind, and somebody wants to help you draw it out so that it can become a part of your life, what do they need to do? They need to do some psychology. They need to appeal to your mind. Questions appeal to the mind. If I command you and say, hey, Edie, I want you to stand up, just stand up. And you're going, Dad, why? I mean, we're in church, you're preaching, I'm listening, I'm enjoying the message. Just stand up, just stand up. Your mind has a problem with it. But if I say to you, Edie, why be so awesome? I'm preaching this awesome message. I think you can be a great illustration. Do you think it'd be a good idea for you to stand up? What would your response be? You would not even think about it. You would not even think about it. Why? Because I appealed to your mind. It's called psychology. I basically got you to do the same thing. One of them was an instruction. The other was a cunning manipulation. That's all it was. I got you to do exactly the same thing. But one of them, you had to process. And it felt good. So you did it. The other one repelled you. So you're like, no, I don't want to do that. But it's the same thing. I'm going to close in a minute. Notice this. Now, We'll come back to this. Let me close. Go to, let's read together. Let's close here. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. 2 Corinthians, no, just go to, let's close. Go to John chapter 10. Let's close here. Satan loves alternative doors. Satan loves alternative doors. Satan wants to manipulate you to get you to do his bidding without necessarily letting you know that you are doing his bidding. He is a serpent. He is very subtle. He whispers to the mind. He appeals to the mind. And when every human being is created with an Adam and Eve, every human being has an Adam and Eve in their humanity. Every human being has an Adam and Eve in their humanity. The Adam is the heart, stable, steady, calm, quiet, restful, established. The Eve is the mind, curious, restless, anxious, questioning, worrying, troubled. You remember when you were saying last, during the Mother's Day message, you said, you just don't know why. This is a question like, you don't know why, but, you know, when there's a lot of curiosity and there's a lot of, I think you were talking about Eve, and you were talking about the woman or whatever it was, but you were using that distinction like, there's just curious and there's just, yes, that's the mind. The mind is curious. The mind questions. The mind is restless. The mind is impatient. The mind is very impatient. The mind is troubled. The mind can't sit still. The mind does not want to sit still. The mind wants to move. The mind wonders, why can't we do that? Why do we have to wait? And why does it have to be this way? Why does it have to be that way? That's the mind. The heart is quiet, is restful. Have you ever wondered when Eve ate the fruit? Because the serpent came to Eve, deceived her, and she ate the fruit. Have you ever wondered why is it that after she ate the fruit, she went to her husband, to Adam, and said to Adam, hey, Adam, this fruit tastes good. Let's eat it. And Adam knew God told them not to eat that fruit. The Bible says Eve was deceived, but Adam was not. Have you ever wondered how come Adam did not even argue with her? There was no argument. There was no argument at all. He just took the fruit and he ate it. Okay, I want to close right here. And I want to say something to you before I close, okay? John chapter 10, are you there? Verse 1. Look at this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, who is he? The same is a thief and a robber. Let me say this one more time. Who is this thief? He's a thief and a robber. He's a thief and a robber. And who is he in the light of the Garden of Eden? He's the serpent. Is the serpent. Now, I want you to read John chapter, I'm about to close now. John chapter 10 verse 1, and I want you to compare it to John chapter 10 verse 10. Let's read both scriptures together so you can get some understanding as I close here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth in some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. What is John chapter 10 verse 10? The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. But I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it how? More abundantly. So let's read both of them together. John 10:1 and John 10:10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And what does the thief do? Verse 10. When the thief comes, he comes to steal from the sheep, to kill the sheep, and to destroy the sheep. What does the good shepherd do? Because Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. In verse 11, he said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good. The good shepherd, he said, will give his life for the sheep. But what is the difference between the good shepherd? Who is the door? Jesus also described himself as the door to the sheepfold. He's the heart. He's the door. What is the difference between the good shepherd and the thief who comes in through another way? The major difference between them, the good shepherd will give his life for the sheep because he truly loves the sheep. He truly loves the sheep. He will lay down his life for the sheep. He will give everything that he has for the sheep. But what does the thief do? The thief wants to take from the sheep. He wants to steal. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy. All right, so this is my close right here. Listen to this. Satan loves to create and operate through alternate doors because he thrives in confusion. He was rebellious from the beginning. I want to ask you a question. It's not a trick question. I'm closing. Who was the door God appointed in the Garden of Eden? Oh, you are not saying it confidently. You don't sound like you are sure. You're like, is this a trick? It's not a trick question. I want to ask this question. Who was the door God appointed in the Garden of Eden? A second question. Thank you, children. A second question. It's not a trick question. This is very important. I want you to see this. I want you. Maybe you've never seen this. Maybe you have, but listen. Who was the door that Satan crept into the garden through? Ah, thank you, children. So let's ask these two questions again and let's answer them again, right? Who was the door God appointed in the Garden of Eden? Who was the door Satan crept in through? Again, one more time. Who was the door God appointed in the Garden of Eden? Who was the door the serpent crept in through? Why? Why? Because Satan is a thief and he loves to operate through alternate doors. There is only one God, one door that God assigned for access into your life. That door is your heart. But Satan loves alternate doors. So for most individuals on the planet, he has replaced the door of the heart with the mind, the intellect, the emotions, and he is God there. He is God there. Do you realize that most human beings, believers and unbelievers, don't operate out of their hearts? Do you realize this? Most human beings don't operate out of their hearts. Do you realize? Do you know this is true? Most human beings don't operate out of their lives, out of their hearts. The Bible calls Satan the God of this world. It's right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I think it's verse 9 or something. Because the God of this world has corrupted the mind. Actually, if you can find that scripture, put it as I close. I'm closing. I'm really closing now. This is the real final close. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. If you can just get a hold of some of these truths, my friends, it would absolutely change your life. There's a scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. God said to Ahab, Asa, he sent a prophet to that Asa. That's where we got that scripture from, where he said, the eyes of the Lord run through and fro on the earth, looking for those whose hearts are, God bless you, whose hearts are perfect towards him. Yeah. Not minds, yeah. Hearts. Yeah. And Asa started out with God from the heart, but he ended up in the mind. He started out seeking God in the heart. But when he ended up in the mind. A military that was a million strong came against him. He had about 500,000 soldiers. They came to attack him. He didn't have a way. He cried out to God, God, it is nothing for you to save by little or by many. There's nothing you cannot do. He lifted up his heart. He said, let's seek God. He gathered the whole nation, the nation of Judah. Let's go seek God. They all went, they saw God. Oh, God gave them a prophetic word. God came through and God wrought a miracle and God blessed them. And then after that, God said, you'll be blessed. If you continue to seek me, you'll be blessed. But over time, Asa moved from being a person of the heart to being a person of the mind. And finally, a small army of the Ethiopians came against Asa. A small army, very small army of the Ethiopians and the Lubims or whatever they call them. And Asa started analyzing. How do I deal with them? I know what I'm going to do. I'll get all the treasure in the house of the Lord. I'll send it to Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. He will help me fight them. He'll get in a league with me and get out of the league and he will destroy them. And he did. Ben-Hadad did. He did. But as soon as he did and they won the victory, God sent his prophets to Asa. God said, Asa, when you were little and when you started, you remember? You sought me with all your heart. You were a man of the heart. That's why God said about David, I found David. It's a man after my heart. See that? I found he would do all my will. You know why? Because almost through the life of David, he was always a heart man. Always. David never walked from here. He never walked from the mind. He was always a man of the heart. Do you know most believers don't act from their hearts anymore? Every decision we make, how we live, how we act, is all in the mind. We analyze, we think, we overthink. We overthink many times. God said his eyes are looking. He didn't say people whose minds are perfect, whose heart. Look at what the Bible says about Satan. He's the god of this world. In whom the God of 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them. Do you see this? Not the heart, but the mind. Why? Because Satan cannot access your heart. He's a thief and a robber. He needs an alternate door to access your life. What is the main door into the life of every human being? Your heart. How did you get saved from the beginning? Your heart. Every aspect of your relationship with God, how does it work? Your heart. And if you ever move away from God in your heart like Asa did, guess what? Your mind becomes the God of your life. You started out being a man, a woman of the heart. That's how we started out, all of us. But now we're mind people. It's foolishness. I want to close. Let's close. The greatest defense against the serpent is love. You know why? Because love is not rational. Love is not reasonable. Love is not of the mind. I don't know how much of this you process it, go listen, go check, go study all these things. Again, your greatest defense against the serpent and against the thief is love. Why? Love is of the heart. Love is not rational. Love is not reasonable. No right thinking human being will give his life for another person. They'll be like, no, you go first. You go first. You go find out what's there. They say there's heaven. You go find out heaven. Go find out about heaven. And then we will come and join you. No right thinking person will give up their lives. But the Bible says no greater love has anyone to lay down their life? That mind, as Eve had been looking, hanging around that tree for so long, she'd done it day after day. And you know what? A lot of it really was It was a lot of self-preservation. That's all it was. It was a lot of self-preservation. She walked around the tree and kept wondering, but why can't we eat it? She had been asking the question. And that's why when the serpent came, he didn't come with a command. What did he come? Serpent. Question. Did God really say? Because he had been pulling, you know, every time she goes there, hey, this tree is so beautiful. Why can't we eat it? Then, and he had been waiting there. He'd been there. Why? Did God really say? Then she thought about it. She said, no, he didn't. Your greatest defense against the serpent is love. Folks, when we got told you, it's at three levels. I'm handling the first level. I handled the first level in this service today. Just touch a little bit of it in different places, right? The surest way to be blessed, to be prospered, to be protected, to be preserved in the ark for you as a human being in your garden is to walk in love. You must commit to the love walk. You must commit to the love walk. And folks, listen to this. I'm not sure if you've heard this before. I don't think you've heard this before, but let me say this to you. Love is forgiving. Now, hear it differently. Love is forgiving. It's not for taking. Love is not for taking. It's not called for take. When the Bible says forgive your enemies, to forgive people, notice the word is not for take people. It is forgive. What does it mean to forgive? It's to give love, even when it is not deserved. Love is forgiving. Folks, our first assignment, we must be a nation of lovers. Amen. We must be a people who love radically, radically. Now listen though, love is for giving, not for taking. Amen. We don't demand love. You can if you want. You can say to people, why don't you love me? You must love me. If you want, waste your time and do that. But love is forgiven. What? For God so loved that he took. He took. Did he take? What did he do? He gave. Love is forgiven. Love is forgiven. Your greatest defense. You know, you just don't know. I think we also heard that last Sunday. You just don't know what's going on in people's lives. You don't know. Just check in. How are you? How are you? Don't assume you are the only one who has needs. Because you are not. You don't assume. Don't have this sense of entitlement. Like, you must love me. Why don't you should do this for me. If you don't, you don't know. Why? You don't know what's going on in their lives. You have no idea. A beloved pastor in Florida called me earlier this year and wanted me to come out and minister in their church, in their ministry. I was so extremely busy earlier in the year. I just could not find a way. He said, I want you to come as soon as I just... So I couldn't find a way. So I said, honestly, I cannot. Because the earliest I can come, it's going to be either the end of May or early June. He was disappointed. But he picked June. So we left it, we did. And then when we were a month out from the time of the ministry, we got together to start planning. You know, we had to make arrangements and all of that. So we started making arrangements about a month before. And then shortly after that, I just was not hearing anything from him anymore. You know, I'm like, you know, we started making, and Pastor Tinu is going to go with me. We started making, she's going to the beach. I'm going to preach, but she's going to the beach. She already has her bikini ready. And her bikini board, hallelujah. But I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach and minister the word. She is going to the beach. So, you know, we started back and, you know, so we made all of these arrangements. Nothing. Like, silent crickets, nothing. I'm like, early this year, this person couldn't wait for me to give them a date to come. Just say you want it as soon as well. Just please. Just. Now, we're almost there, and now you're not even responding. What's going on? And last week, you know, I'll just pray off and on. But last week, I was traveling, and I just, you know, started, I prayed a little bit, just a little bit, and moved on. And then suddenly, this overwhelming burden came upon me to pray for him. So Lord said, pray for him, pray for him. So I started interceding as I was traveling. I started praying. I didn't want to call because I didn't want to put him under pressure, right? But I started praying for him. I started praying, praying, praying. When I finished the session of prayer, the Lord said, call him. Call him now. I said, okay. I picked my phone and called him. This past week, I picked my phone and I called him. When he picked the call, his voice was slurred. Was struggling to get the words out. Hi, we greeted. I said, how are you? How's the family? After a while, he said, it's only by faith that I can tell you we are well. See, I didn't know what was going on in this pastor's life. I could have been there saying, we had all these arrangements. Why didn't you? Why aren't you? But love is not for taking. Love is for giving. We give love. Love is for giving. Nobody has a sense of entitlement that, like, you don't know what's going on in people's lives. You can just assume. You can just assume. I told Pastor Tino after this call, 3 weeks ago, exactly 3 weeks ago, all hell broke loose in their family. This man of God suffered a stroke. The worst kind of stroke. His doctors told him, quote unquote, you are lucky to be alive. He said, they don't know miracle. You are lucky to be alive. In the same period, his older daughter living in Washington, D.C., was rushed to the emergency. In the same period, his son, living in Florida, had an accident. In the same period, their last son was rushed to the emergency. It's crazy. 3 weeks. 3 week period. He said, I'm sorry if you heard the slur. I said, yeah, I heard the slur. So I'm just doing a lot of physical therapy to get back. Just to get back on my feet. 3 weeks. In 3 weeks, the serpent camped around this family and came to steal, kill, and destroy. 3 weeks. He said to me, oh, we're so excited looking forward to your trip. We're so excited looking forward to. And I said to him, truly, and I mean this from my heart, I don't remember when last I was this excited about going to minister in a place that was not our ministry. So excited. Why? Because I saw all of this. He said, I know it's witchcraft. He said, I know it's spiritual. It's witchcraft. It's true. It's spiritual. Yes. This is not normal. This is not normal. Say, 50-something-year-old man. Stroke. And it's not like physically anything. Like, no, he's healthy. He's never gone to the emergency in his life, ever. He said, well, at least since he's adult, since he's... I mean, 3 weeks, the enemy, the serpent, is almost ruined, almost. And you can imagine how it's going. And he said to me, this is the one that got me. I believe in timing, son. I believe so much in the power of timing. I so believe in it. This is the one that got me, he said, you called at the right time. He said, you called at the right time. He said, my wife just drove home our daughter from DC. They just arrived. Just brought her back home from DC. I myself just really am slowly getting back on my feet. I've been in physical therapy. You called at the right time. It's prayer. It's prayer. I say, why not? How come I? You don't know what's going on in their lives. You have no idea. You're not the only one who has needs. It's just because people stand, only God knows what some of them, just because people stand every day and they look good, they look happy, and they smile when they preach, does not mean they don't have problems. Does not mean they don't have problems. And so, we've got to be patient with one another. We've got to love one another. We've got to give one another a long rope. You're not the only one who is suffering. You're not the only one who is fighting the devil. All of us. You don't know. In fact, some of the devils we are fighting, you don't want to see them. You want to see them, you don't want to see them. Can you stand to your feet? Let's close. Let's close. Your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart with all jealousy. Guard that heart. The serpent is coming for it. The serpent is whispering all sorts of silly things in the ears to get to the mind. Shut it down. Shut it down. Guard your heart. Guard your heart with all jealousy. Guard your heart. Children of God, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back. We are analyzing too much. We are thinking and overthinking too much. Yeah, I'll do this. I'll position myself. And if I do that, then that will happen. And then this one will happen. And then that. And then you are thinking too much. That's not God. You are thinking too much. God is of the heart. God is of the heart. He says that you obey it, you love, you walk, follow him. Hallelujah. You believe. That's where we started from. We are thinking too much. We are thinking too much. Analyzing everything. If somebody said it, you analyze it. If somebody do, you analyze it. You analyze. And the serpent is in your garden. And he's there to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy everything. Overthinking. Oh, if I did this, I don't know if people will misunderstand. Come on. Stop. Act from your heart. Live. Really live. Shut down that door. That alternate door. Shut it down. I don't have room. Shut it down. This is the season of the viper. He only gains access through your mind. If you shut your mind and you give your heart to the Lord and you follow your heart in everything you do and you obey God and walk in love, you'll be protected. You'll be preserved. You'll be prospered in the ark. That's the only way into the future. You'll be prospered. You'll be preserved. Prospered. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, the spirit of love we receive in this ministry. The spirit of love. The spirit of love we receive in this ministry. We're baptized afresh with the spirit of love and oneness. Our cord, our oneness, our bond of unity will never be broken. It will never be broken. No serpent, no viper, no rattlesnake will ever get through into our garden. Ever. You will never get through. You will never. You are not authorized. There's no room. There is no room for you here. There is no room for you here. There's no room. Father, continually bless your people. As we take communion together, bless your people. Fulfill and establish the word that you have spoken. I give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name.